Hello and welcome to season 3, episode 16 of the D Hoop University podcast. This is your boy Daryl Harris, also known as D Hoopster. You can see that we have a new setup, we have a new arrangement, a new room. We got a couch behind us, you feel me? And that's just a sign of evolution, man. Evolution is a mystery. Shout out to Motorhead, shout out to Evolution. But yeah, man, we keep on going. It was a busy weekend. We got the move done in essentially one day. Huge shout out off the top of the podcast to my girlfriend Whitney. She is one of a kind. I will say that she is deserving of more than a shout out, but a shout out will suffice because she stays saying that I don't talk about her on this pod. And I talk about her on the spot. That's one thing that we know for sure. So that shout out is on the books. We got another shout out that we're going to get to a little later in the recording. But y'all know what we're here to do. Y'all know what time it is. Even though I moved, it didn't matter. We are here to talk hoops. We've got some wrestling to talk about. And it's after midnight on the West Coast. So we're not going to be too long. Which means that we got to get right into it. And topic number one, are the Lakers cooked? Are the Lakers cooked, man? I watched all of game 4. That was the first game of the series that I was actually able to really watch start to finish. And it was a really up and down experience. Let's just say that for one. Was decided in the second half. All of these playoff games are reminders that, yo, the playoffs are a different beast, man, entirely. It requires players to, you sort of see it. I'm going to bounce all over the place maybe at the top before zoning in. But, for example, in the Houston game tonight, we're going to talk about that game a little bit more, but Alperen Şengün got into foul trouble early on. And it's one of those instances where this is his first trip to the postseason. You don't realize how important it is and how much you're going to want to be out there. And he had foul trouble that sort of hemmed him up in the first quarter and second quarter. He only had 2 points. He started like 1 for 6. You know, when you're in foul trouble, you don't have any kind of rhythm. You're a little timid offensively. You're timid as a rebounder. And it just throws off your whole game. And really slow start to the first quarter and second quarter for Şengün. From that point forward, he was a monster. He finished with 31-10, and he looked the part of the all-star big man that he was this season for the Rockets. And they lost by, what, 2-3? It's like every possession matters. All 48 minutes matter. There is an emphasis next to all of them. So it's a rough learning moment. When you're a young guy in that position, when you got to sit with a series ending that you know you could have made a difference and swung 3 points somehow if you were just literally on the court, but you don't learn those and you don't get familiar with that sort of environment until you are in that environment. Back to this Laker game. Yeah, man, it looks like the Lakers are cooked. Let me just say that in all honesty up front, because they're going to accuse me of never admitting so. So I will do it up front. The Lakers are probably cooked. The Luka Doncic experiment is not looking great right now. It looks like we could really use Mark Williams. What else can I get off? It looks, LeBron looks tired. Austin Reeves doesn't look ready for playoff and just the elite physicality and the elite athletes that they're playing against. They're not deep enough. They have no bench. All of this was sort of factored into that game 4 loss and really has been at play in the series the entire time, but really highlighted in game 4 when I think that, I won't say it's JJ Redick's fault. I will not say it's his fault, because he got aggressive. And the Nuggets had just did it where they played the same lineup the entire second half. And both instances were out of desperation. Because you know, as the head coach of your team that, look, if we are going to make it, the margin for error doesn't even exist. Pardon me. It's like we've got to execute, and I have to trust who's on the court the entire time. And that resulted in him playing the same five-man lineup of LeBron, Luka, Austin Reeves, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Rui Hachimura the entire half. And it did keep them afloat. That lineup had great success in the third quarter. So again, you really can't fault the decision-making of J.J. Redick because he was trusting the lineup that was getting the job done. They opened up a double-digit lead in the third quarter. That lead evaporated in the fourth quarter, possibly due to fatigue. Like, it's as much as all of the list of things that I, you know, tried to run down this team for at the beginning, it still could be as simple as they were tired. And we already know Luka's not a high-end defender. We already know LeBron's output level has a cap on it in comparison to the LeBron that we're used to in the playoffs. And all of these things are sort of factored into what was a just horrific meltdown in the last few minutes of game four. Again, we talked about them having a double-digit lead. I know that the Lakers give away leads in the fourth quarter. I already expect this from them. However, the difference that was supposed to exist on this team by having LeBron and Luka is that you've got elite decision makers. You've got just jack of all trades sort of players on the court at all times. LeBron's never been a second fiddle. And now we're sorting two things. I will lay it out about just this collapse that they had in game four. Then we'll sort of move on. A, yes, there is a structural flaw in the Luka-LeBron partnership. Are they both ball-dominant guys? Yes. Do they find their rhythm by playing the maestro sort of role? Yes. Does that prevent each other, one of them on any given night, from being in rhythm when it matters because they haven't figured out how to be in rhythm together at the same time and sort of both play at their peaks? 100%. We're seeing that. And this goes against one of my beliefs that it takes a minute for you can't microwave a championship team. So while I might have been fully bought in, and I'm not going to say that I've given up hope, but this was an attempt to microwave a championship team. I get it. They've got all the talent in the world. You tell me the team that got it done acquiring their best player either mid-season or entering that season without massive roster continuity already in place. Because I know the example is that going to come to mind is Kevin Durant joining the Warriors. Well, that doesn't work because that was already a championship team that just added another five-star player. Other than that, the examples don't exist. And the reason I'm able to say that confidently, I will take it back. Toronto is the sole, it is the one exception to that group. And Kawhi Leonard, again, was a championship player who joined a roster that was mostly intact. But other than that, out of the Lakers and Spurs and Celtics and Warriors and Heat teams that won championships throughout the 2000s. If we pull it back to the 90s, clearly it happened with Jordan and with the Rockets and things like that. Championship success doesn't happen in the microwave. So maybe that's one thing we're learning with this Lakers experiment. However, the series isn't over. It is not over. It is all I have to say at this point to button this up. Been down 3-1, rooting for a LeBron-led team before. And it just, you got to go one at a time. You got to take them one at a time. Game five is going to be back at Crypto. Winner go home. So I'm not going to try and, you know, say I figured out the recipe. They just got to show up and they got to compete, man. They just got to show up and compete like they did in game four. However, it was ambitious of JJ to ride those guys the entire second half, demonstrate some trust in the guys that got you there. And the stints that you saw of high level defense in late February and things like that, and trust that you have the best players on the court. Now, the question is, are they the best players on the court? Because I can't leave the topic of this series without admitting that Anthony Edwards is all the way here. Like, there's what do you want us to say? Last season in the playoffs, he sort of captivated everybody who wasn't hip. Fool me once, shame on you. You can't fool me again. This is season two, year two, take two of Anthony Edwards, again, captivating the NBA world during the postseason. And lightning doesn't strike twice. This is a real thing. Like, last year, he sent home Jokic, sent home KD and Booker. We already see how it could be lining up this year. So the throne is for the taking. And, wrestling fans know about the whole brass ring gimmick. And Anthony Edwards is one person who is not shy of grabbing that brass ring. So kudos to Chris Finch, who we know is a high-level coach, and to the rest of those boys in Minnesota, because they're getting work. And I got one last part. I know I keep adding on to this. Julius Randle. Come on, man. Stop playing with son. we gotta put a little bit of respect on his name, man. Bro's really getting to it. He's been a problem. He's been exposing the Lakers for not having that front court physical deterrent at the rim. Because as much as, I can get on him, I'm pulling the numbers up right now. He is averaging more than 20 for the series. He's averaging about 22 for the series. 16 in game one, 27, 22, and 25 in his last three games. Bit aggressive. He's getting to the free throw line, converting at a high rate. And it's just a problem. I think that a majority of the public deemed that New York Knicks, Minnesota Timberwolves trade as just a landslide win for the Knicks, especially how the season played out month to month, where Karl Anthony Towns was incredible and the Timberwolves were middle of the pack at best. And it looked like they were missing Karl Anthony Towns' presence, and Julius Randle looked like a noticeable downgrade. And now that we're here in the postseason, when it matters, he's unquestionably a reason that they are leading the series. And hey, this is when it matters. So better late than never. And it wasn't all bad this season. I think that it took him some time to adjust and understand where he fit on this team. And now when push comes to shove and you need guys to show up, he's available and ready to show up for this team in a way that is really, really putting a dent in the Lakers. So, all right, that's it on that. I've got to get to this Houston Golden State game tonight. And the Warriors got the W, 3-point victory tonight over the Houston Rockets. They take a 3-1 series lead. They'll be going back to Houston for game 5 in a couple nights. And very respectable effort level today for the Houston Rockets, man. Like, they know that they gave away game 3 with Jimmy Butler being rested, but they got hit with a Steph bomb, 37-9. I put videos up here saying that, yo, these teams aren't ready for when Steph does the things that he's famous for in the postseason, and that pressure and that heat turns all the way up. So I am not surprised that this is where the series stands. I said that we were going 7. The Rockets put up a fight tonight, and it almost got the job done. And valiant effort from Fred VanVleet, 25 points, 8 threes on the night, playoff career high. He had the last shot. And it was inches from dropping, and he already had hit a couple ridiculous long balls that you could tell he was just feeling it from deep tonight, but he couldn't get the one that was in the overtime. Very difficult shot in like a full sprint. I was thinking that Houston or that Golden State was going to try to foul them because they were up three, and Van Vliet got it in a way to where you just sort of couldn't catch him. And at that point, he had a chance to get something up. He did the best that he could, and it was just a little short. But I think that this demonstrated that the Rockets are still missing some pieces. And it's just a commendable thing that they were the two seed in the West when this almost this entire team, you know, is lacking postseason experience in terms of their key rotational players outside of, you know, Dylan Brooks, Steven Adams, and, you know, a Jeff Green here and there. But these guys showed up tonight. Amen Thompson was all over the place again. He had a couple insane, like, levitating with hang time layups in the fourth quarter. But the elephant in the room was Jalen Green on the bench in the fourth quarter. He played few minutes, if any, down the stretch of this game. And finished with, I think, 5 points, hit maybe one field goal on the night, and was just cold, man. And it wasn't that he was jacking, and you could just tell that he was hurting his team, but his usefulness is sort of capped in that he's a high-volume scorer. And I like Jalen Green, but this was the evidence that this Houston team has a lot of the right pieces, but these pieces aren't meant to be together, possibly, you know? Yeah, you could wait and hope that this core were to grow and reach these new levels year after year. However, that requires years of investment and patience from a front office that you don't really get the courtesy of or the luxury of in the NBA. They're going to have to take a swing in the postseason because Şengün was incredible tonight. And Amen Thompson was very impressive. But you just don't know what's going on. Like, dude, in the final five minutes, there was a lineup on the floor of Amen Thompson. Pardon me. Let me get this straight real quick. I didn't write it down. I really should have. But it was Steven Adams for one, Şengün two, Jabari Smith three, maybe Amen Thompson and Fred VanVleet. But I'm watching this lineup on the court like, yo, where is the spacing? Who is guarding the ball? Because it was essentially four bigs and VanVleet or some crazy lineup. But a lineup that didn't feature Jalen Green. It also had Dylan Brooks on the bench. And it's like, okay, if these are the guys, I don't know, man. I like Ime and he's trying to make it work with what he's got. But it's like, I haven't seen this lineup play together all season. What is this doing on the court in the pivotal game four on the road against the Golden State Warriors? And that happens because, hey, look, it's the polar opposite. JJ said, look, man, these are the guys I got to play because I know that I can live with the outcome that they get best that I can. Ime's just trying stuff like, yo, Steven, stay out there. I don't know. And Steven Adams was incredible in the fourth. But how are you playing lineups with Steven Adams, Alperen Şengün, Jabari Smith, Amen Thompson? Like, I dig it. And yes, you're leaning on the physicality, but guess what that got you? You were up four in the fourth quarter with about 6 or 7 minutes left and you lost the game. So if you want to say size and rebounding made the difference, it didn't. Because Golden State still had the offense to match the scrappiness and Draymond Green had to play the game just walling up on Şengün with the hook shot that could have gave them the lead in the final seconds. So hat tip to Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors for surviving tonight. Brandon Podziemski, that brother is hooping. Let's talk about it. Like, he turned in, I think, 26 tonight. I think he had four threes. And if you just kind of, it's wild to think about it, but he is in the five person lineup for this Warriors team that could win a championship. And that's a testament to him without describing anything that he does. That kind of says enough because A, the Warriors have won multiple championships with different versions of lineups. Sometimes it's Harrison Barnes. Sometimes it's Iguodala. Sometimes it's Andrew Wiggins. Sometimes it's Jordan Poole. Sometimes it's Klay Thompson. Like, the fact that now Brandon Podziemski is a part of a group that is thriving just speaks to him as a player, speaks to that front office for dissecting that talent. By the way, I see you, chat. Y'all are going crazy right now. So I just want to say that that is very much appreciated. Go ahead and hit and subscribe, man. We're creating the community. If y'all are digging what you're seeing here, I want to keep this thing popping over on TikTok, bring some real ethical hoops discourse over here. So that's what's happening. Live event, live recordings like these happen from time to time. I'm recording the podcast, so this full podcast will hit Apple, YouTube, Spotify, things like that. But YouTube's been, I mean, TikTok's been nice to me, man. So I'm going to keep doing some of these live streams, double dipping as I'm doing this, as I'm growing. I want y'all to be a part of the journey as well. So nice to meet you. Welcome to class. I won't call on you and make you speak, but by all means, raise your hand, crack a book, take a picture of the slides. You know what I'm saying? Tap in. That was a roundabout way of saying that. Yeah, man, Houston, round of applause for the coaching effort that this year has been for Ime Udoka and for the, you know, toughness in this young group. But we don't know what the best version of this team is. And that's just because some of the geometry isn't, the math isn't mathing. And you can sort of consolidate. You can do multiple. That will lead me right into the next topic, which we've got plenty of time to talk about this. But let me just go ahead and start it now so I can make some content, so I can clip some reels while the conversation is going crazy. But that is Giannis Antetokounmpo. This series isn't over also. It's only 3-1. You would think that it was over, and it may just be a formality. But Damian Lillard, which you all know on TikTok, I shared a video once it happened that it felt as though he might have tore his Achilles. And he did indeed tear his Achilles, which is at least a year setback or so. It almost derailed. You guys have probably heard all of the chatter about what Milwaukee's outlook is now on the heels of this Dame injury. But to summarize it, they invested 6 or so first round picks for Damian Lillard. They gave away Drew Holiday, which was a, you know, foundational piece of their championship team. They no longer have Chris Middleton. They have no promising first or second year players. They gave away AJ Johnson, who's actually did, you know, was turned some heads at the end of the season for the Washington Wizards in that Kuzma deal. And they're not an attractive destination. So what is their map to getting back to the championship bubble with Giannis, who is on a team where he's putting up 30 and 15, but they're getting wiped off the floor by the Indiana Pacers? So the writing's on the wall. This has been a underground sort of topic in the league for years now. Where is Giannis going to want to go? Where might he, you know, this is a necessity now almost for Minnesota, for Milwaukee. There's no other path to rebuilding other than just a superstar walking through the door. So that doesn't happen. And it's not going to happen. So it seems inevitable right now. It seems like the media might force it, but also it's logical. Milwaukee has no out. That they are pinned against the corner. They have got to restructure somehow. And the only substantial way that happens is in the Giannis Antetokounmpo trade. So let the games begin. You know what I mean? Like, I started this conversation after talking about Houston. I think Houston's got all the pieces in the world to where they could pitch a trade for him. But I think that please, by all means, can we please keep Giannis in the East? Like, we do not need that boy in the Western Conference whatsoever. And there's teams like San Antonio, teams like Memphis, teams like Houston. I don't know if Phoenix really has it, but sure, they could try. You know, all these sort of these group of teams that could just throw a whole bunch of stuff at the wall and maybe it sticks for a trade and Milwaukee bites and, you know, they get a massive haul in return. But if that doesn't happen, there, you know, ideally he stays in the Eastern Conference. So I'm looking at you, Brooklyn. I'm looking at you, Orlando. I'm looking at Atlanta. Somebody, please keep Giannis in the East, and I will be fine with wherever he goes. But that's about it on that Milwaukee note. I do think that we've got to shout out Indiana, because I talked about him on here, and Terrell was on here backing up his team, and he said that, yo, this team needs the perfect storm of events. And what he meant by that was that they need a few breaks to get back to the conference finals like they did last year. And who knows, maybe even go a step further. But again, one round at a time, and so far, so good. So far, so good for Indiana. This team is extremely deep. I mean, Jairus Walker was 4-for-5 from three the other night. What are you going to do when that happens? Nembhard hit 4 threes. Mathurin didn't even play. And Haliburton still had 15 assists. Miles Turner was catching bodies at the rim. Tossing people above the rim on the other side. he was insane. And game four was an absolute stomp out by Indiana, and they've been the noticeably better team this entire series. And I don't think it's a game. I don't think it's a joke. I think that they will advance and meet Cleveland in round two, and that we're going to have a real, real series between those two teams. 100 men versus the gorilla. I got the gorilla all day long. Sorry, Pod. This is me answering the TikTok chat. But 100 men versus the gorilla, I got the gorilla. If you disagree, please let me know why. And let me know how you... And this is excluding weapons, okay? You can't have weapons in the gorilla versus 100 men argument, because at that point, what are we talking about? The weapons are going to win. But 100 men with their hands and feet against the gorilla, it's not happening. One by one, he will walk those boys down. After a half handful of people get slashed up, somebody gets bitten, somebody gets thrown against the tree. Like, human bodies aren't meant to take physicality from animals. Like, there's no regrouping after that, unless you're just going to go through hell and back to take down this gorilla. Okay, that's enough on that. We're talking about the Cavs and Pacers in round two. That's going to be a good series, man. That's going to be a good series. Looking forward to it. Cleveland is the real deal. They beat the hell out of the Heat tonight. Oh, my word. Almost made history in the making. I think they won by 49 or so, or 48, and the biggest playoff deficit of all time is like 55 or 56. And they were at 56 with like 7 minutes in the fourth, but Miami avoided falling on the worst end of history. So good for them. Tuesday night's gonna be a big night. Big night for hoops. And oh man, who's the GOAT? John Cena. I mean, John Cena is the GOAT, man. I must say. Again, this is me responding to the TikTok chat. John Cena is the GOAT. 17 titles. I had the hustle, loyalty, respect as a kid. I saw him and Randy at SummerSlam as a kid. I had the wrestling figures. I had the mini spinner U.S. title belt watch. Y'all don't know about that. Don't pretend to know about that, because you weren't there. All right? And it's okay that you weren't there. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. If John ain't the GOAT, then you were watching a different sport. So Thunder, that's crazy. Great point. I'm glad that you mentioned that. CeeLo, man, what's up, dog? You can jump in here if you want, bro. But I was referencing the deficit in the Cavs Heat game tonight and that they almost broke the record, but that record was actually set this postseason by the Oklahoma City Thunder over the Memphis Grizzlies. So, nah, you ain't have the R-rated spinner. Knock it off, bro. Knock it off. CeeLo, man, you already know what time it is, bro. If you want to jump in, just do the thing. Trying to send you the invitation. And we could also do it on here. So just text me. I'll send you the link. You know what I mean? Tap in. But round one, other than that, it's really going according to script. There haven't been any shockers outside of the Minnesota series. That's been the biggest shocker, and we really shouldn't be shocked. Like, yes, it is a big time to jump on, you know, the Lakers while they're down. But Anthony Edwards, he's like that, man. So until anything were to, a lot's going to be decided tonight. There's four games on tap tonight. We got the Clippers and Nuggets series coming off of that insane game winner by Aaron Gordon at the buzzer. Literally unlike anything we've ever seen as basketball fans before. Playoff game winning, tip back dunk. As the clock is legitimately expiring, this series, I predicted to go seven. The Clippers are the better and deeper team. However, they've got to overcome not having the best player in the series. And Jokic is doing everything for them boys. He's coaching. He's drawing up the plays. He's making substitutions. He's getting buckets. He's getting assists. He's campaigning with the referees. He might be cheerleading as well. I don't know. But he's doing everything else, so you might as well give him some pom-poms. I got the Nuggets. It's tough. It's really tough to rule this Nuggets team out because Jamal Murray, we all know, can wake up at any point and just turn into Super Saiyan Jamal Murray. And if that happens, the Clippers are in trouble. That can't be disputed. We've seen Jamal Murray go nuclear, and there's almost never a warning. It just happens. So I just can't rule Denver out because, yes, Jokic is looking like a one-man show, but Westbrook hasn't played the last couple of games, which means they've been relying on a whole lot of their same five guys as well, and they could use literally at least just one more body, and Westbrook could help, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Indiana's looking to wrap things up tomorrow. And we got the Magic taking on Boston, along with the Knicks and Pistons. Both of those games are happening with the Knicks and Celtics holding 3-1 advantages. And I won't count out Detroit. However, when your second best player is Dennis, Durin, Beasley, Hardaway, like that's not it for the playoffs. So I hope y'all enjoyed the run and that the experience has been impactful and that more people are familiar with Cade Cunningham at the least, but we'll see you next year. You know what I'm saying? Let's not pretend. Same deal with Orlando for the most part. We'll see you next year, but they won't, you know, go down without a fight. They've been very competitive against Boston, so I'll give them that much. That just about does it, guys. I mean, I've got some thoughts about WrestleMania coming out of, not necessarily WrestleMania, but just wrestling in general, on the heels now of WrestleMania. And still making my way through Monday Night Raw tonight. I'm sure some things happened with Sami at the end. They've been teasing the Sami Zayn heel turn. Hopefully the chat doesn't spoil what happened for me. But NBA GOAT is LeBron. Spoiler alert. Sammy is the person to watch this for some time, man. And I think that losing Kevin Owens to this injury is sort of putting Sami Zayn on an island that he's never been on in the WWE, where whenever he's at his peak, it has been in connection somehow to Kevin Owens. And if not Kevin Owens, then the Bloodline. But even there was overlap there between Kevin Owens feuding with the Bloodline with Sami Zayn and him turning back. And we know the whole WrestleMania main event. So Kevin Owens is out of the picture, and Sami Zayn really has his own sea legs right now. So that's going to be something to monitor, because the crowd responds to Sami. The crowd feels like they know Sami. So they can do a lot of compelling stories by just letting him be his person on screen. So I'll be paying attention to that. Do I think Giannis is going to come through? Nah, man. Actually, I talked about that already a little bit. And Giannis is probably going to have a new jersey next season. That's just a fact of the matter. But the John Cena stuff with Randy on Friday was pretty great. Legitimately, that TLC match was pretty freaking great. And the best wrestling news I saw this week is that WrestleMania and TKO would like to come back to Las Vegas in the next 3 to 5 years. And I love that. I live in Las Vegas. I work in Las Vegas. I cover news and sports in Las Vegas. So whenever professional wrestling, which I also love, is here in Las Vegas, we just experienced it. That WrestleMania week was insane. Gunther's coming by the studio. Joe Hendry's at the station. Like, the convention center in WWE World is in walking distance from my job. I, you know, had to opportunity to go to way more things than I even went to. And if it were to come back, great, because there's things I didn't get to do yet. And WrestleMania was just off the chain while it was here. So I was under the impression that WWE was a fan of how Las Vegas is able to accommodate things that they would like to do. That being the booking, the travel, the hospitality, all the resorts and venues for, you know, what was about 7 shows in like a 6-day stretch. It was insane. But all of the venues and arenas to do things and move, and options for the talent to be and to entertain themselves with in their downtime, it makes Vegas a no-brainer. And I understand why all these entities go back to New Orleans every few years. I made my first trip to New Orleans earlier this year. And I'm like, yeah, New Orleans is perfect to get in for a few days, do what you're doing, eat some great food, get on back home. So I think that's dope. And I would like more of that in my city. So that's it, man. We're going to wrap this up. We accomplished most of what we wanted to do on this chat, on this pod. Continue to tap in wherever you are listening, watching this podcast, and just know that it's appreciated. Know that it's growing. Know that the reach is getting further and further. The ceiling is literally being lifted in real time, and we're going to be able to do a lot of stuff that we wanted to do for a long time. It is that time. TikTok, I appreciate y'all for riding with me on this episode. It will be available hopefully by the morning. My work here is done. I bid you all a good night. Thanks for coming to class. Do your homework. Watch the games. Leave the show a review. Leave us a comment. Interact. All right? Don't be a stranger, okay? You're welcome here. This is a safe place. Till next time.